Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to My Favourite Takeaway, the show for people who love food but can't always be bothered to cook it. This is the show where myself, Tom Crane, and my friend Simran Shah go into the homes of celebrities and have their favourite takeaway with them just as they'd normally have it. How are you, Simmy? Are you well?
I'm good. I'm keeping well. I'm good, actually. But you know what happened yesterday? Something happened, Crane, yesterday, which I feel, I don't know if we've talked about this before. It feels like an area we should have discussed, and maybe we haven't. But I was at home over the weekend. And ordered a pizza just by myself. And that's it always feels a bit lonely if you're just ordering a pizza with no sides, nothing else, just one solitary pizza. And I end up ordering.
Amazing justification for sort of pigging out. The pizza just looks a bit lonely, doesn't it? You've got to think about the pizza here.
Well, I'll tell you what it was. My girlfriend was out, so it was actually Friday night. And I thought, oh, you know what I'll do? I'll stay in and I'll have a pizza. And I ordered a pizza on my own. And I ordered a marinara, which is sort of plain tomato pizza, which I thought would be quite nice. But then I accidentally ordered extra tomato sauce on it. And then when I got the pizza, which has obviously got no cheese but just tomato, the extra tomato sauce was laid on so heavily that it collapsed under the weight of the ingredients. Like the slice collapsed. So I ended up just slipping off the pizza base. And then I just ate basically the bread and then had to mop it up with the tomatoes.
That sounds absolutely disgusting. You've basically ordered sort of soup on very, very, very thin bread. That's what you've ordered there. What a weird order.
Yes. And if we listen later, you'll know your feelings about soup because you make them very clear in the episode.
Yeah, I know. We'll get into that heavily in this episode. I had a bit of a weird takeaway experience this weekend as well, Sim. My girlfriend... my fiance's dad was visiting.
Of course. People don't know. Crane got engaged last week.
I did.
And
indeed,
it was quite a lovely moment. And he broke it live on the podcast. Have you got more news? What other news are you breaking to me live?
I also got a lot of messages from friends that next day going, I mean, were you going to mention it to us? I went, oh no. I've gone straight onto the podcast and forgotten to tell my friendship group that we got engaged.
It's when your family gets in touch, and that's what it's the problem.
It's all about content, Mum. You have to understand it's all about content. It's not about love and family and sharing the day together. It's about content, podcast content. This is what happened to me this weekend. Claire and her dad were having a takeaway. We all got a takeaway. We were exhausted. We thought we'd get a takeaway at Saturday night. She had a Thai meal with her dad, which turned up at 9:30, half an hour after they'd ordered it, as they hoped. I'd ordered a burger and chips. It gets to like 10:15. They're finishing their Thai meal and my food still hasn't turned up. They finish it. They've washed up. The plates are done. They're settling back. At which point, at 10:30, I get a phone call and I think, oh, the delivery driver's outside. It's here. I pick up the call and it's someone from the restaurant saying, I'm afraid to say, we couldn't find a driver to bring you your burger. So we've just chucked it in the bin.
What?
So I said, okay, so... are you going to cook a new one? And she said, no, we've run out of burgers now, unfortunately. And then said, but the good news is, which is a weird phrase, the good news is you're getting your money back. That's not good news. That's a legal requirement on your part. You can't just...
There's the least they could do.
If I sat in a restaurant, it's been around for like 2 hours and my food didn't arrive and the waiter came up and went, okay, we cut your food and we threw it in the bin, but the good news is we won't be charging you. I wouldn't be going, oh, you are good to me. I must spread the word about what a wonderful place this is.
I think this is punishment, though, Crane.
Oh, why is that?
I think this is punishment for being the person who orders a different takeaway to everyone else in the group. You know, if you're in a group and you're all ordering a takeaway, it's bad form to be the one person to order. Let's say, actually, I'm going to get something different.
Do you think it is? Oh no, maybe you're right.
I think it's bad form on a few levels. I think the first one is you're shunning the group. And okay. I think that just feels like you've automatically said, I'm different to you, which I don't think is a great way to sort of secure, especially if it's your new father-in-law. Okay. And then you run the risk, which is what's happened, of the food arriving late. And that's exactly, so you're not eating at the same time. There's nothing worse.
But we were watching telly together. It wasn't like we were sat round a table. It wasn't that sort of setup. And also, the group, surely we've moved. The group is the sort of thing when we were out in the wilds, when we were having sort of fade off, you know, saber-toothed tigers and that sort of thing and live in caves. That's when the group mattered, when you needed to protect yourself. But, you know, we live in city now. We can be individuals. Okay, we can be who we want to be.
Sure. But tell me this. When you were watching the telly, right, were you not thinking, where the fuck is my food? Or were you just there enjoying the show? Or were you preoccupied? Once their food had arrived, were you not at that moment, until you discovered what happened with your food, solely thinking about where the fuck your food was?
It's all I was thinking about, to be honest, Imran. And I was having a conversation with my father-in-law about what he's been up to, and 0% of my mind was actually involved in that conversation. He was telling about, he's an artist, he was telling about the work he does. It's very interesting, but I was just like, where's my burger? That's all I was thinking. I just need my burger. I even did that sort of lame thing where I saw, like a kid on Christmas morning, I kept looking out the window to see if there was, what was so tragic. But yeah, anyway, no burger. End up having peanut butter and toast at 10:45 at night. So, Sim, let's find out what our wonderful listeners have been up to this week. As always, we've had some brilliant but slightly weird correspondence come in. What have they sent us this week?
So, Crane, we've got a correspondence that's come in that I think has a little of a connection with you, because this is a wedding day story.
Oh, nice.
You got engaged last week, didn't you? So maybe this could be relevant to you or your fiance. So this comes from Emma. On my wedding day, the most magical day of my life so far, holding out for better then, Emma, so far.
Like that. My second or third marriage could be even better. We'll find out what happens. Okay, that's good. So far, that's good. I've yet to go to Thorpe Park with Fast Passes, which I know will be better. So far, that's the best thing that's happened. Okay, so what happened on her wedding day?
Okay, she said, I drank one too many glasses of Prosecco, and by the end of the night, I sat myself down on the steps outside our wedding venue in a Cinderella dress and refused to move until someone bought me my cheesy chips. Thankfully, my maid of honour went and got some for me from the local kebab shop. I walked down the road in my wedding dress with her new husband, enjoying the bliss of cheesy chips, the perfect end to a perfect day. Craig, is this how you imagine your wedding day ending? Are you going to be like Emma?
Well, I actually think Emma's onto something there, because I think at a wedding, you want the food to become less and less glamorous as the day goes through. Basically, at the beginning of the day, you want things on silver plates that you only recognize half of, and you go, what is this? And they go, it's squid eyes with sort of whatever, red pepper. You go, okay, fair enough. Then you have your main meal. But later on in the evening, like, imagine if you're on the dance floor and they came out and the bride and groom had bought 35 Domino's pizzas or whatever, or even just loads of polystyrene boxes of cheesy chips, I'd be delighted, because you're hammered. You want something to soak up the alcohol. So I completely get that. I went to Ed Gamble's wedding about a month ago, and on the dance floor around about 11:30, everyone was wasted, they started bringing around bacon sandwiches. I mean, that's an absolute win. That's nice. What you want. It's exactly what you want. I mean, do you disagree?
No, I don't disagree. And actually, at Josh Widdicombe's wedding, there was a load of chips out there on the dance, when everyone was on the dance floor. He put out a big old plate of chips. Delicious.
But I completely get that. I also really like the little addendum, the little note that she clearly, it sounds like she had a bit of a huff. She sat down and she wasn't going to move until someone bought her cheesy chips. It's such a lovely image of someone just going, nope, not budging. Yeah, I get that. No, that's good. I'm completely behind that, Emma. What else have we been sent this week, Sim?
So another correspondence we had was an email that came through from John. And John said, and this is an interesting idea, Craig. I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think might have touched on this area before.
Hit me.
John says, my best takeaway idea is to get a large Domino's double pepperoni and a chicken tikka masala and pour the curry on top.
Oh, no.
It's the fusion food you didn't know you needed. Can also recommend onion bhajis with coffee cake, but I realise that one's a harder sell. Is onion bhaji with coffee cake a harder sell?
No, it's really not.
A curry on top of a double pepperoni Domino's pizza. I don't think it is. Just to speak to my earlier point, Quinn, I think this is the ingredients are going to collapse under the weight of the.
Completely agree. I mean, it feels like you're missing a trick there. If you really want the combination of the flavors, surely you take the slice and then you dip the slice into the sauce. Like that's how you do that. You wouldn't pour all the. I don't. It feels. Like the sort of thing you'd be challenged to eat on a game show to win $100,000.
You're eating that with a knife and fork, aren't you? You're not picking that up.
Okay, here's an example. When I was at school, my friend Chris, to stop other people eating his chips, because people used to always nick your food in the dinner hall, used to pour custard over his chips because he knew that nobody would like to eat that combination of food. And to be fair, it did work. But it did mean that for 8 years of school, he had to eat custard and chips, which nobody actually wants to eat. But he thought it was a brilliant idea. But there's a similar thing. It makes the thing underneath just go really, really soggy and horrible. I'm not buying that. I think that's disgusting, isn't it? Am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong at all.
There's a gig in Bristol, a place called the Comedy Box, when I was doing stand-up. And before I performed there, I used to always have a pizza with chips on the pizza, which is the thing. And then I'd sort of roll it up slice by slice. But I think that's not so weird, is it? That's kind of a thing that people do.
Would you roll up the slice of pizza? Because I've started doing this thing where I take a slice and I sort of fold it in on itself.
Okay.
Turn it on its side and then eat it.
Like origami? It's like the shape of a swan before it goes into your mouth. It's a beautiful piece of art. Sorry. You fold it over, turn it on its side. What?
Yeah.
This sounds a bit like that thing you do, and then you can open it up and it'll say yes, no, love, and you can find out if someone loves you. Like that thing you do at primary school. Why do you do that? Do you not like the feeling of the toppings against your lips? Is it you like the dryness?
I think because it flops too much. If it's too floppy.
But the underside of the pizza is the worst bit, isn't it? It is the worst bit. It's there for rigidity, basically.
I don't think you can, in an oven, successfully cook an underside of a pizza. I think it always comes out a bit doughy in the middle, or a bit
crap. Yeah.
I don't think you can oven cook a pizza to perfection.
I agree with you. I think all oven cooked freezer pizzas are either underdone or burnt to a crisp. I don't think anyone's ever nailed it. There always seems to be it's one of the two. And it'll be like a 2 second window in which it'll change. I'll open the oven. I'll go, well, that's underdone. I'll close it. And I'll say to my girlfriend, that's nearly ready. Don't worry, a second. I'll open it again. It'll be like it's been napalmed. I don't understand what's happening in that key 2 seconds where it just goes, completely turns into sort of like moon rock. So in conclusion, John's idea, large Domino's pizza with chicken tikka masala poured over it. I'm not going for that, to be perfectly honest.
No, however, not into it, John.
However,
sorry.
I do admire... The honesty, the fact that he has this weird order and he's told us about it.
I tell you what, John, if you're listening now, send us a picture. So next time you order a large Domino's double pepperoni and you decide to pour chicken tikka masala on top of it, send us a picture, send us evidence of you eating it. Okay.
And I think it actually raises quite an interesting discussion point for our listeners. Why don't you send us pictures or stories of your weird takeaway orders? What are the weird combinations that you order and you enjoy that you want to get off your chest and you want to tell us about? Is John an outlier in this, or is Britain full of weird takeaway orderers? And here is how you can contact the show.
You can follow us on Insta on My Favourite Takeaway Podcast, on Twitter on Fav Takeaway Pod, or email us hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Right, next up is our very special guest. He rose to fame on Made in Chelsea. He was a finalist on Strictly Come Dancing, the founder of a very popular brand of sweets called Candy Kittens, and the star of the new BBC show, I Like the Way You Move. He's also the great-great-grandson of the founder of the McVitie's Digestive Biscuit, which is pretty cool. He is, of course, Jamie Lang. And Jamie lives in West London, which is where we met him. And we had a pretty fun chat with him, didn't we, Craig?
I loved it, Sim. I really did. He's such a nice guy. It was an absolute joy to speak to him. And he also he does something in this episode which has never happened before in the history of My Favourite Takeaway. All eight episodes in, or whatever we are now, this has never happened. You'll notice in this episode we had to bleep out the name of the restaurant. I don't want to ruin why that's happened. You'll find out at the end of the interview why we've had to bleep it out, but it is a first for this podcast. Absolutely. It's a remarkable end.
I have a feeling it might not be the last, but there we go.
It blew my mind. It blew my mind. So you'll find out at the end of this entertaining chat with this wonderful man why we had to bleep out the name of the restaurant. He's a fascinating guy. I really hope you enjoy it. And here he is.
Jamie, do you want to take out these dishes?
First of all, where have we ordered from, and what food are we having, and where are we ordered from?
Okay, so obviously you guys asked me very kindly to be on the podcast, and I then got embarrassed about what I should order. So I went, well, what do I order? Do I ask for something, you know, which is really low budget? Do I ask something high budget? Do I get middle? I was confused, and then I saw Tom Allen.
Yeah.
Michelin star.
He did.
That is so.
Yeah. He did.
Cheeky.
Expensive for us.
Yeah.
However, Jamie, this is the most expensive order we've had.
Oh, my God.
You've beaten Tom Allen.
Are you joking?
You have. This is £120 worth of Mexican food.
Oh, my God. That is so... So, yeah, we've ordered a Mexican from... It was one of the first Mexican restaurants I kind of went to with my friends, and I really liked it because my favourite thing in the world is tacos. I love... Tacos, just for any occasion,
completely.
A taco is a kind of a good thing.
Are you a soft shell taco guy or a hard shell taco guy?
So I went to, you know, you get asked all these, you know, what will your death row meal be and things like that. I was in Tulum. And
amazing, Tulum's so great.
Oh my God, it's
it's the best place. Yeah,
everyone in Tulum is like cool dress well. And I feel like there's also like at Thorpe Park, you have a height restriction. Yeah. I was definitely the smallest person there. And I was like, where is everyone so tall?
Welcome to my life, brother.
Yeah, I know. Always so small. And we went to this place in Tulum, which I can't remember the name, which is insane. And you sit outside and it has candle lit and it's just...
Is it in a sort of little jungly sort
of
thing?
Jungle.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, I know the place.
I
can't remember, but it's down that sandy track where you can only cycle.
And then it's on the right-hand side.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I kid you not, it's in this amazing family-run place. And next to it is like another really good restaurant. I can't remember the name of which is really great. So you guys find it.
So what I love about the show is we can provide information that people can use in there.
Really giving you a sense.
It's such a resource, I think, this show.
Forget that you found it. If you go to Mexico, you'll find it. If you hit the sea, you've gone too far.
So tacos is your favourite?
Yeah, and I went to this place and it was just amazing. It's called, I don't know what it's called, and they gave me this soft shell crab taco.
Oh, yes, please.
That was in a, I think it was banana leaf or something like that. And like, honestly, there's only been two times in my entire life when I've ordered a starter twice.
Yeah.
That was that one time with this taco. It was unbelievable. And the first time was when I was 11. And I was in France and had an asparagus soup. And honestly... I don't know what that guy put in that soup. It was honestly the best soup I have ever had.
I would
in my
never
time.
Have guessed asparagus
double
soup.
Asparagus soup. To me, asparagus soup seems like the sort of thing.
It's very mature. It's a very refined taste at Lemon's.
I was obsessed with soups. Yeah. I love soups.
Asparagus soup.
And asparagus soup is.
I hate soup because soup never ends. It's just relentless. It's the
you
same
hate soup.
I hate
what
it.
What do you mean it never
Every
ends?
Every mouthful is the same as the last. Do you not get the feeling like six mouthfuls in? Oh, here we go again.
You heard that with like a shepherd's pie or like
I recognise you, you're the same spoonful I had the last five times.
Yeah, and every single time I thank it, and I go, thank you very much.
Same spoonful I've had the last
five times. Yeah.
I'm with you, I love soup, I think, but you get different types.
There are certain foods, it's definitely a childhood thing, that I will chuck to a certain part of my mouth because I don't want to eat it properly. I have the same with moussaka, anything that's mushy, and I know, okay, I've got to fling this to the right or the left or the back, and I can't really taste it. Soup gets chucked to certain points, like a Pollock painting. It'll never hit the flavour zones in the middle. I need to get it around. I do, yeah. So I'll get soup now me, but I won't enjoy it at all. It's like I'm being waterboarded, basically. I don't have soup.
We've all had that pain when you're doing a soup, and you all go, ho, 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 and it nails the roof of your mouth. And then you get that weird blister that you everyone goes in and picks it off. Don't they? And you pick out basically your roof of your mouth.
And also, for me with food, I'm not very good at like one thing. I like flavours, right? And I don't think I have a refined... I went to boarding school like 8 years old, and so they gave you food to like survive. So you just ate, it was just like you ate it really quick, right? That was all it was. So you never really appreciate. So food was always fuel. So my palate is so bad, right? Like sometimes, like I got a good palate now, but my girlfriend and I went on holiday, she's vegetarian, and we got getting sushi, and I ate sushi, and I went, oh, it's weird. Why would they put tuna and apple together? She was like, and she went, oh, that's weird. Let me try. And it was foie gras. Which is really quite odd to put in like a sushi roll in the first place.
Yeah, of course, yeah. On that tasty image, should we crack into the food?
So, yeah, let's do it.
Take us through what we've got.
We've gone mainly for tacos.
Great.
We've got here.
Oh, wow, these look amazing.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Trust me.
Oh, wow, these are really rather.
I think that's a fish taco or a prawn taco.
That is a fish taco.
Wow.
That is really a fish taco. We have a prawn taco here.
Oh, prawn taco. I've never seen that before. That is literally little prawns.
Prawn taco. And they're all soft.
Like mango, maybe.
All soft shell at the moment.
Churros, yeah.
Churros. Which is...
Yeah.
Spanish. I think you get given that when you walk into heaven, God goes, here you go. Here you go. Have one of those on your way in. We also got, which is really delicious, it's a tuna... Tostada, I think it is.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a crispy, tuna tostada, like which is a crispy one.
So tostada is like a crispy thing with like almost like a tuna sashimi on top.
And what I've added, guys, is I brought some... I ordered this spicy sauce.
Yeah.
It's called Psycho Juice.
Okay. That bodes well.
You may experience pain. Do not panic, it says. When everyone says don't panic, that's when to panic. Like, are we going to try this?
Yeah. Let's give it a go. Should we try a taco without the
Psycho juice, yeah.
Lethal juice first so we can get its normal flavour?
Okay.
And then let's...
So which would you like to dig into
so
first?
So I'm probably going to go for the cod, the fish. I'm greedy, so I won't stop eating. I stop eating when I'm full. Yeah. And then I regret having eaten. And I eat so quickly.
That's the thing. Mm. So my girlfriend's always like, after about 3 minutes into a meal, she's like, you need to just slow down, stop, think about it. And I look and I've basically finished half of it. I don't know what that panic is. What is that? I think someone's going to sort of snuffle in? And
I think it makes us anxious people. it must be something to do with that, right? Oh, something's going to happen.
But I'm in my own home. Yeah. Like, who's going to take this food? It's not going to... I don't know what I think someone's going to come through the window going, I'll have that, yoink. Why do I go into it?
Don't know. We have to know. When I have dinner with my girlfriend, she has to separate... the food to either side, like it's a football match. Yeah, so she has it because she goes, that's mine, that's yours.
Okay, yeah.
Because otherwise, I will do the same where I just eat. And honestly, when we first started dating, she used to get into what I only can describe as like a 100-meter race position with a headband. And I was like, what are you doing? She goes, well, I have to race you to the finish line because if I don't race you on the food, then it all goes. And then I'm really hungry. And I was like, so sorry, I didn't.
Did you grow up having takeaways? Like, when you were growing up, was a takeaway a part of your, like, food routine?
I don't know if it was. Was it any of... I feel like a takeaway was, like, a special occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what... And it was typically Chinese, if we had a takeaway.
So where did you grow up?
So I grew up in the countryside. So I grew up just near Cirencester, in sort of Gloucestershire area. And then parents divorced at, like, 7 years old, moved to London with my mum. And I remember I arrived to London... And, London for me was like a big, which you'd go to London, it'd be like this big moment. And so we'd always get dressed up. Why would people get dressed up?
Get dressed up. That's
what
so
was
sweet.
That? Do you know what that? Like, you used to put on a tie. What the fuck is that?
Like, go to the corner shop on a Sunday.
You have to go to London. Like, what is going on? So it was like this really exciting moment. But then London for me was this amazing place where then takeaways became a thing. And you went to restaurants and we had like different
food. So did you start having takeaways, you and your mum, at that point when you were living in London? Was this something, did your the sort of food you introduced to change when you were in London then?
I think because London is so multicultural, right? So you do experience different things. When you're living in the countryside, you go to the local Sainsbury's or Waitrose or supermarket, whatever it is, and you get your food and you bring it back. You don't really taste out different foods from different cultures and things like that.
Yeah.
So moving to London, it was like, oh my God, we can go to a Thai restaurant, we can go to a Japanese restaurant, we can go to an Indian restaurant, we can go to a French restaurant. And that never happened to me before. So I was trying all of these different things all the time, which was amazing. And then sort of kind of the same age,
we started traveling a bit. So going to this, we'd go on holidays to different places and things like that. And so then you start experiencing different things. So we went to Hong Kong, we had some real Chinese food there. Wow. And I was always quite adventurous with my food. So okay. I never kind of stopped. I was like, okay, well, I'll eat that. I'll eat that. Yeah. More just because it was like an ego boost. I was like, okay, I'll eat anything.
So the prawn taco, is amazing.
Do you like it?
I love it.
So
I love
what's
the
next?
What's next, Jamie?
Or why don't we go for a tostada?
Let's go for a tuna
tostada over here, which is a hard base. It's, like we said, it's kind of like a crisp. Then you've got sashimi of tuna on it. And then I think you've got sort of crispy onions on top. Yeah, and this is kind of one that you break. You kind of break it off and you eat it and you just kind of go for it.
That was my sort of abiding memories of being in Mexico was that the fresh seafood with the sort of acidity of a lime cutting through it. Is that kind of, it's clearly just come out of the water.
Yeah.
So I just, I loved it. It was such a
Jamie,
great trip.
What countries have you been to where you've had the most, like, the best food experience?
South Africa. Mm-hmm. South African cuisine is so good. Because I think a lot of South Africans kind of stay within, especially in Cape Town, a lot of South Africans stay within Cape Town. So you get a lot of the local chefs and things doing it within there. So that was insane. But Mexico, for me, still.
It's
Oh, my God. You had...
It's fantastic.
It is
I actually have a weird reason for going to Mexico.
It's really good.
Which was that I got given the holiday for doing a corporate gig. And the corporate gig was to do 2 stand-up sets mid-flight on a Virgin Airways flight from London to Edinburgh and back again. So I had to stand up and use... You know that microphone when they say we are flying at 3,000 feet or whatever? Or
That was your microphone?
I had to use that. But to a plane full of people who didn't know I was going to stand up and start doing stand-up. So they say, now a little surprise for you. We've got a comedian
who's going to the Edinburgh Festival.
And I had to get this thing and put it to my face and go, hi, growing up in Bath was a weird thing. Like people raising their broadsheets.
That is the worst scenario.
It was so. One of them actually went really, really well. The trip to Edinburgh, I think, were people going to the festival who were excited by the comedy festival, actually quite got into it, because imagine some of them were going to gigs. The way back was nobody wanted stand-up sets. These were people heading to London for work.
That's sort of like when someone plays an instrument in a restaurant and you think, please don't come over here. Like, when you're on a metal tin in the air, you can't do anything about it.
Well,
you over there with the jacket.
In 25G.
Well,
I genuinely was on the way back, which gives you an idea of how the material was going. I just thought, I've got to get something out of this, back out of that. Let's try bantering with the guy in the front row. He's not going for it. Oh, God, how long left? It's basically that.
Does anyone want to try the hot sauce?
Should we try the hot sauce?
We're talking regrets. Let's try this hot sauce. Let's see if this works.
I honestly, I can't tell you how hot it is.
I'm really keen on this one.
You go for the prawn. Go.
I might go for this one. So just so everyone knows, Jamie's poured the psycho juice straight onto the taco.
Yeah.
I was going to put it on the side and just dip it in and see what it was like, but you're gone straight in there.
I put it on the bed of lettuce.
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing.
Are you going to do it? I don't know how hot it is. It might not be that hot, but...
What was it? Oh, that's so much.
Yeah.
That is...
Okay, right.
That is so much, isn't it?
Okay. Oh, God, this is going to be too much.
Oh, my God, that is... I've definitely put too much there.
Is it awful?
That's absolutely hot.
That is really hot.
Let's try it. Okay, here we go.
No, that is really, really hot.
Quite nice, though.
Oh my God,
that is hot.
Oh, fucking hell.
That is hot.
That's not pleasant. That's worse than soup.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Oh my goodness me.
Oh my God, that's actually good. It actually gets worse.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awful.
This is one of the worst things that ever happened.
Oh, I have to get water. That's actually
awful. Don't touch your eyes.
Water won't help. We need milk.
Oh my God, that's actually horrendous.
Yeah.
That is so much hotter than I thought it would be.
Oh my God.
I feel like my brain's on fire. Oh my, 70% Caroline Reaper chili pepper.
Yeah, that's hot.
Do you think people really enjoy this feeling? Or is it just like...
Full on, actually.
That isn't flavour. It's like I've been napalmed.
Oh my God, my head got a bit numb.
Yeah. is that enjoyable? Or is that people just saying they can do it because they want to prove something?
That's not enjoyable.
The sort of thing I imagine will make me hallucinate that. I see Grandma telling me I'm a good boy in the corner. So, in general, how many takeaways are you getting a week? What's your takeaway life?
So, I think more and more I started getting more takeaways.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have you ever checked, like, your Deliveroo for, like, the whole year? Yeah. Your Deliveroo history or anything? It's really scary.
Yeah.
if you check your order, and I really hate Tupperware. I don't know why people use Tupperware. It really irritates me.
Okay.
I think if you make food, let's eat it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe that's a bad thing, but so my girlfriend and I nearly fell out.
Because she likes Tupperware.
Tupperware.
But you could freeze stuff down in Tupperware.
Yeah. I've had frozen dal in that freezer for like 12 months. It's just never been.
I rented an apartment in London, and I go, this is lovely, fine.
Yeah.
Stayed in it a year. At the end of the year, I went to the bottom freezer, which I never checked, and there was a leg of lamb. And that was
before you even got
there. We never had a leg of lamb, and it was in the freezer.
So when you're with your girlfriend and you were here for a bit, when you order a takeaway with her, do you have any like weird habit?
Oh, we try and not have the TV on. Which is really hard.
Are you sitting on the sofa or are you sitting on the table?
We sit at the table. And actually, in lockdown, we always...
Are you talking to each other?
Yeah. So, how are you?
Are you sat next to each other on the table or either end, like a king and queen from that sort?
Yeah. No, we sit opposite. We sit next to each other like it's... We pretend it's like Wagamamas. So we sit next to each other like that, side by side. But
that's nice, though. Claire and I try to do that. I think it's a nice thing you share.
It is a nice time together.
It's so easy in life when you're knackered, exhausted, just go and watch another really Swedish crime drama.
No one's really enjoying it.
I don't give a shit what she's saying.
I just want the TV on, but you both think it's a thing you should do.
Well, I'm missing MasterChef.
Sorry, this says more about mine and Jamie's relationship.
How was your day?
Great. I've been with you all day.
Yes, exactly.
But I think I do enjoy it. I do enjoy that. And I think that's a nice thing to do, to spend the time to stop and to sort of eat and chat. I think it's an important thing to do.
I think what's really important in life, so I went from, I hated structure. So I really hated like routine structure, anything. Once again,
it's why you love soup.
Yeah. It is. And so really kind of rebelled against that. Yeah. You know, everything in my life had always been sort of like, you have to do homework, you have to do this. So everything is always structured in a certain way. So then what happened was, is I went completely against it and said, well, I don't want any structure. So I would get up at different times and do this, and that was in my early 20s. Yeah. And then what I actually realised is structure and routine is pretty important in like a life, right? Yeah. Like you really kind of need it. And so I think implementing that throughout your day, whether it's, you know, making your bed in the morning or having a cold 100%. Shower or doing a dinner thing like that, like focusing, obviously. I listened to this guy called Tony Robbins, who's that?
Oh, yeah.
Tony Robbins. He's mad.
Quite fun, like, to, fun to listen to.
Yeah, fun to listen to. And
he used to present Time Team, that guy.
Yeah. I think that's Newsline now. Sorry. But he said what's really important if you're in a relationship, because relationships are hard, right? You've got to... You can't let your partner become a friend. You've got to really invest time with them. Yeah. And you kind of go, okay.
And I think it becomes more important when you have kids as well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Because you fall into a role as a parent where you can lose a little bit of yourself. You're dealing with children. So it's kind of, I think it's important to sort
But, you
of
know, talk about structure.
That.
Like, I mean, you've got a business. Mm. You run a business. Yeah. That requires structure, routine.
Yeah.
And you couldn't do that without doing that. You must have a part of your brain that thinks, I need that, or does it not work like that?
Well, I would say I'm a pretty good entrepreneur.
So you want to tell us the business?
So the business is it's called Candy Kittens. It's a vegan natural.
Which we're going to try later, actually.
Oh, guys, are you going to
know whatever you want? Yeah, yeah. I bought them on a number of occasions. They're really good sweets.
They are really good. And they generally are.
I heard a site they would sold every 12 seconds. That's magic.
Yeah. We're the fastest growing sweet company in the UK, which is pretty exciting.
Great. Congratulations.
And I give talks to these kids and students and all these different things. And I always say to them, naivety is your biggest weapon. Honestly is. And I think what people do is they go, okay, we need to start a business and I need to get advice from all these people who know exactly what they're doing. And that is correct to an extent. But if you're flying a plane or driving a car, right, follow logic, because it gets you back in a safe place. A place where everyone else is, a place where you want to be. If you're setting up a business or creating a brand, never follow logic, because you don't want to get in the same place as everybody else. So you want to go against the grain.
Yeah.
So I always say to people, it's same with comedy, right? You don't want to do what everyone else is doing, because then everyone's had it before. So I always say, follow your naivety. You know, get
That's good advice.
Yeah, so with Candy Kittens, we just followed our naivety by mistake. We made sweets which were you know, different packaging to anyone else. We made them vegan. No one else making them vegan because we thought it was fun and we thought we liked the idea of making it vegan. We made them gluten-free. We made flavours that no one else had done before because we thought that was fun. We made the price point too high because we couldn't afford the margin, so we had to. So therefore, we created a category which is now called gourmet gummy candy. Like, that was never done. That was all
that's
by mistake.
That's so cool. Gourmet gummy candy.
Yeah.
But you're right. That
it's
is
a premium market and that was never done before.
What was the very beginnings of it? How did you start this business? What were the first things you did and how did that happen?
Really long story short is that... when I was a kid, this is no one ever lie, right? As a kid, I was scared of the dark. My brother used to tell me stories of Jamie and Sweet World. And I wasn't allowed sweets because I was too hyper. So my parents said, yeah, shock. So I always had this fascination with sweets, but sweets that didn't damage your teeth. That's what I really wanted. Cut to years later, I took a, I heard about an overdraft in a bank. And I was like, well, what the hell's that? That sounds fabulous.
Sounds
at the university.
That sounds great.
So I took out an overdraft in Lloyd's Bank. And took my girlfriend to New York with this £2,500.
Yeah. Immediately.
That I thought was free money.
Yeah, that was free.
Flew to New York, had this amazing time, and came across Dylan's Candy Bar, which is Ralph Lauren's daughter's. It's like the Hamleys Harrods of sweet shops. Yeah. And people were spending $400 at the till. It's just incredible. This world that I'd always wanted to see. It was amazing. Came back and didn't pay the money back. And 6 months later, bailiffers turned up at my parents' house. And I was
oh my God.
Because I didn't realise. I had no clue. I didn't know.
How old? Wow.
I was 20. My credit rating became so bad, I couldn't get a SIM card. I then thought, well, I don't really want to make other people a success. Because why would I want to go and work for someone else and make them money? Why wouldn't I just do it for myself? And then someone told me, oh, you could be an entrepreneur.
That's a classic entrepreneur.
Yeah, and I was no clue what entrepreneur, I'd never heard that term. And I was like, what the hell's an entrepreneur? He goes, well, you just start a business yourself. Mm. And I went, what, so I can make
money?
And it wasn't it was more the fact that I just didn't understand why I would do something for someone else. I was like, why would I go and work for someone else when I could do it? So I couldn't get that. Sitting in a class with a girl called Hannah Coriason, who's still a friend of works in TV, and she said, what are you going to do, Jamie? You know, this bailiff, I was telling the story about it, and she said, I'm going to set up a sweet business. So what's going on? I said, you could call it Candy Kittens. She said, well, why candy kittens? I said, well, candy is a universal term for candy, and kittens are going to be these beautiful people selling sweets. I wanted it to be a mixture between Willy Wonka and Hugh Hefner. This is the idea.
That's great.
And then Made in Chelsea came along, and I thought, okay, this could be a really fun idea. And I thought, I just didn't want to be the typical reality star. Because I thought, like, if I'm going to go and do that, I don't want to do that. So why don't I set up this business and market it? That, again, I didn't know what I was doing. I was guessing. Yeah. It was not so strategic. I just went, well, I could talk about it on the show. Maybe that people would know about it then. Didn't know what I was doing. So then went into the show, started speaking about Candy Kittens, which was a complete ghost.
Yeah.
And so then it started Twitter, it started happening, and I started tweeting about it. Twitter then got in touch with us because we were the first business to ever launch via social media.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
They wanted to do an article on us. Yeah, this was back, you know, 2012, whatever.
Wow, okay.
Because we suddenly got 50,000 followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
Again, this is all by mistake. I didn't know what I was doing.
Okay.
Met this guy called Ed Williams. He's my business partner. He was from Loughborough. He's a designer. Had a meeting in a pub with him, and he said, I don't think you should set up a sweet shop. I don't think that's the idea. I think you should make packets of sweets, and we'll sell them. And I went, bingo, that's exactly
God,
what
we
do.
God, that's a clever idea,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I went, great, so let's package it. So... we then went on this journey. It took us 18 months to create sweets. Try and Google how to make sweets. It doesn't cut. I could spend hours saying, it's the age of the starch, all these different things. You go, it's like walking to Coca-Cola and saying, or it's like walking to Tesla and saying, I have an idea for an electric car. Will you make it for me? And they'll go, fuck off.
Yeah.
No. And we were doing that. We went to a sweet convention in Germany, going up to Haribo's, Roundtree's, Maynard, all these people and saying, will you make our sweets for us? And they're like, no. We're selling sweets. We don't make...
That's so interesting. Yeah. That's so interesting. I wouldn't have thought that.
That's how it happened. So we found this one company called Vidal, which was a Spanish family-run company, really small. We said, will you make our sweets for us? They'd seen the TV show. And they went, yeah, sure, we'll make the sweets for you. So they started making the sweets for us. We were trying to sell these sweets to different people. We had no money. We honestly, there's this whole idea that my parents gave me billions from McVitie's. Yeah. McVitie's was sold years ago. I get branded a rich kid without being like the rich kid.
Yeah.
So that's what happens with it. So we had no money. And I got a missed call on my phone. And a voicemail, and I picked it up, and the voicemail said, hi, Jamie, this is Lara Feather, and I'm such a big fan of Made in Chelsea, and I really love Candy Kittens. We had no sweets, we had T-shirts and stuff that we're selling. I really love Candy Kittens, and I think you should talk to my dad. He runs Sainsbury's, and I think it's a really good thing. And I went, this has got to be a joke. So I phoned her back. I wasn't going to phone her back. I phoned her and hi, Lara. She's like 12 years old. I went, hi, Lara, I'm so sorry. look, is this a joke or is it real? He said, no, my dad's right for that. And I went, well, can you get your dad to email me? Can you sign like something? Anyway, Robbie Feather sent an email saying, my daughter has a way of twisting her arms, let's have a meeting. And that's how we got into Sainsbury's. And from there, it just... It's luck, hard work, and not taking no for an answer. And
such a great story.
I say businesses don't fail because of lack of money. They fail because you lose the passion. And we've never lost the passion. And I think that's why if you're ever going to set something up, business is paid in two currencies, cash and experience. Take the experience first, the cash will come later. Do something because you love it and you want to experience it, and cash will be about it. If you do something because you want to make money, it will never succeed. And so for us, it was just a passion product that became this thing. Are we going to eat more food?
Let's have some more food.
Oh, okay, can't wait.
So let's try. What would you recommend? What are we going to have now?
Okay, well, what do we have left? Are we going towards dessert or no? I mean, what is there a ruling with this?
There's no ruling with this. What would you...
Let's move towards dessert.
I'm just going to finish this chicken one off and then we'll go to dessert.
Yeah, sorry, I had half a chicken. What was that?
What about less successful takeaway? Have you ever had any takeaway disasters or meal disasters? Things where at times where it's gone awfully wrong for you food-wise?
I once went to a fried chicken place and it was a disaster. I had to lie in the bath because it was just coming up both ends. It was like the most upsetting thing.
The Catherine wheel. I was like, make it stop. Like, honestly, it wasn't stopping. Like, I actually got piles because of it.
Oh, my God.
Because I was pushing so hard.
Fucking hell, Jamie. It's true.
I went to the doctor afterwards and I went, there's like wrong with my arse. It's only like, you've got piles. So much is coming out.
Oh, Jesus.
It's really horrendous.
I got so ill from fried chicken place, I was hallucinating. I generally was. When I was at uni in Cardiff, there were things going up the wall. I was like, weirdly, we had a Moe bucket in our flat. I don't know why I had this, and I kept being sick into this Moe bucket. And I remember it's a weird sort of mixture of opulence and just absolute despair.
Oh, my God.
But the most ill I've ever been. So let's conclude this fantastic meal with some pudding. So we've got some churros.
Jamie, you go first.
We've got caramel.
So what is churros? What is a churros?
Yeah, Tom.
What, you're holding one?
Yeah.
Shall I Google it?
Yeah.
Look.
Basically donut butter.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
It's Emma, our producer. Donut butter.
Donut butter.
I think it's basically donut batter. Same ingredients as
donuts. Oh my God, that is divine. That is probably my favourite dessert.
This is really good.
They're so clearly so bad for you churros, though, aren't they?
I know.
Yeah.
But
I don't care anymore. I've lost it. I don't care. Anymore. You know, guys, we always talk about, like, women positivity, right? Like, body positivity and all these different things. And we rarely talk about, like, men. And, you know, guys, we still have this image of, like, you never see, like, all models are, like, stacked, like, muscly. Yeah. Like, that's what sexiness is for a guy. And it's quite hard, like, you know, I don't have a six-pack. I do not have one of those. And, and so when I was younger, I became very conscious of what I ate, what I was doing, all this kind of thing. I remember I'd be embarrassed about it, so I would go to, like, supermarket and buy reduced-fat hummus because I thought it was better for you. That's why I started drinking Diet Coke. That's why I drink Diet Coke now, because back in the day I was so conscious of being... Because skinny meant hot. Or, like, when you were skinny, I was quite like a... athletic guy, so if I was skinny then I would have like more defined muscles, and so that's what kind of happens. And we don't really, and guys don't really talk about it. It's just because you're so conscious of like being looking good on camera and all. And I, you know, people always say if you saw yourself walking down the street you wouldn't recognize yourself, like, because you're like, oh wait, is that me? That you would do that. And so when you're on camera you suddenly see yourself from all different angles, so you go, wait, hang on, the back of my head
A bit weird.
Why am I right leg a bit smaller than the other? So no wonder everyone just tries to change things about themselves. And so when you see yourself on TV, you go, oh, you don't look that good. But then what happens is as you get older, just naturally you get thicker skin and you understand yourself and you become comfortable in yourself. So you start to care less. But television is a cruel beast.
Yeah.
When it comes to those kind of things.
I read an interview with you where you're talking about you're at a festival.
And the girls.
And the girls, I mean, it's quite funny.
Yeah, that was a real shocking
moment. What happened? Where,
I was walking my friend.
If you don't mind saying.
Yeah, of course, love it. Walking my friend, I think it was Latitude Festival. Quite a family-friendly festival. Yeah. I was walking past, there was this group of girls, and they sort of caught me, and I went to my friend, here we go, this is it. They're gonna, and they went, Jamie, and I, honestly, like a Western, I went, you're right, ladies? And they went, you're a twat. And I didn't know what to say, so I went, oh, where's your parents? That's what I said to them.
Where's your parents?
So many things, like, I've had so... one of the worst experiences of my entire life is I just did Tipping Point, which I explained to you guys before. Which I thought was The Chase, and turns out it was Tipping Point. And it was in Bristol, and I got on a flight. I had to get on a flight to go
and
to...
And it started with Ben Shepherd saying, oi, Jane, you're a twat. Like, yeah. Brutal start.
Thank you, Ben. Anyway, I then got a flight from Bristol to Zante, Zakynthos. So they were out there. So I was going to stay with their parents. And as I got on the flight, it was one of those typical things where these lads were going on a lads' holiday and they had the shirts with all the names about, big boy. Yeah. And anyway, we got on the flight and they recognised me. And I was, it was, you know, one of those sort of really, I think it was like Sprint Air, I don't know what airway.
I was doing stand-up at the front.
And they clocked me. And as the flight... as it was going to sort of take off and you know that rumble bit, I'm stuck. I can't get off. And one of them went, Jamie, give us a wave on the flight.
No.
And I went, surely not. Another person, Jamie, give us a wave. And the plane started erupting with this Jamie, give us a wave. So I don't know if you ever walked into a room and suddenly everyone looks at you and you forget how to walk. So you sort of be that weird, like, oh, I forgot how to wave. So I put both my hands up and just shook them like this. like I was playing the like maracas or something.
Just to get a photo of you shaking.
It was like that. It was really the most embarrassing moment of my entire life. So I've had all those moments. But yeah, but going back to it, I think we all, as individuals, I think we all make mistakes about like different things. If someone says what you look like or this or that, and you're like feeding off all of these kind of things, which is a really kind of unhealthy existence.
We're talking of things that are not unhealthy.
Oh, hello.
Let's try your...
Come on.
Oh, that, look at that.
Oh, my God. That was...
Look at this. Coming out.
So these are... We have our original candy kind of sweets, which are our vegan recipe sweets. Delicious. The whole point is now we have no nasties in them. So no nasties whatsoever. And these are new ones called our gourmets. They're a different recipe. And we have our blood orange and pomegranate, and we have our guava and orchard apple and dragon fruit ones. We also have another packet. They're delicious. Again, I could bore you for hours about how it's... To make a sweet like this is... It takes ages.
Really?
Like, oh, my God. Like,
are you involved in the sort of process?
Yeah, the whole process and stuff like that. So it takes... Mm. I mean, it's the age of the starch. We use real fruit juice. Typically, most sweets are apple or orange juice concentrate. We don't use that.
Let's try this orchard apple and dragon fruit. I especially like the blood orange.
They're delicious, aren't they?
I actually think...
That's my favourite. They're both delicious, but this is especially lovely.
And then... They're vegan, they're better for you, they're delicious, they're all these different things.
Well, huge congratulations to you.
This is so much fun. Jamie, this has been so great.
Guys.
Loved it.
Honestly, I loved it. So thank you so much.
What we always do at the end is to quickly sort of review the meal. I thought it was great food, to be fair. This is...
I'm going to be honest. I thought it was a 7 out of 10.
Okay. Really? Okay, right.
Let's go for it. I'm going to be honest. The tostada I thought was great.
I thought the tuna tostada was fantastic.
I thought the chicken was a bit dry.
I'm going to go for a 6.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you...
Maybe even a 6.
No, I still think it was good food.
Average. Oh, it's a really authentic Mexican thing. You're going to love it. Love it. The best part of that meal was the spicy sauce. and the churros.
And the churros and the gadgets.
Yeah. We should just skip to that.
The rest was a cold, dry chicken taco. Too much salad.
The conversation has been plentiful.
All right, guys. I get the vibe.
Okay. Guys, honestly, thank you so much for having me and for organising that. And even the best thing about this meal, it's the most expensive meal, but probably the worst. So, that's really good. I'm glad that I really make a mark on the podcast. So that's fantastic.
So that was the brilliant Jamie Lang there with a crushingly honest review of the restaurant that shall not be named. I did not see that coming, Simran, to be perfectly honest.
I didn't see it coming. I could see him slightly sort of be... His face changed. And he was like, come on, lads. It wasn't great, was it?
But it's like when you play someone like what you claim is a really funny YouTube video, then midway through you're going, actually, this is not as good as I remember it was. I'm going to have to be honest about that. But fair play to him for coming clean. If you've enjoyed this episode and if you've enjoyed the series in general, please do like, subscribe, and leave a review, because it really means...
Leave a review, please.
Do. It makes such a difference to the show. You want to spread the word. We've got so many brilliant people coming up. And also, just to reiterate, we want you to send us examples of your weird takeaway orders. That's what we're looking for this week. Any weird combinations, any weird foods you want to admit that you order, do get in contact with the show on hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com. And next week, we have an unusual, very special, but fascinating episode. What is it, Sim?
So Dr. Anya Gray is one of Britain's leading food historians. She specialises in the history of food and dining from like the 16th century up to the present day. She's an author. She's a broadcaster. She's been on features regularly on Kitchen Cabinet on Radio 4, presenter on Victorian Bakers. And she's written 4 books about the history of food. So we talked to her about takeaways and the history of takeaway, and it is a really interesting and fascinating chat.
Yeah, it really was. And she's a real joy, so sort of funny and interesting. And I haven't learned anything in about 14 years, I don't think. And it was quite nice to add something. Another thing I can bring up at dinner parties or when I'm hammered in the pub at 2 in the morning and claim it's my own information. So join us next week for that. And Simrand, I hope you have a lovely, lovely week. Should we try and say bye in unison?
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. Okay, 3, 2, 1. Bye. Fuck.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, pity.